you for tuning in tonight. I'm kind of a student of personalities and human conduct. As a lawyer, I've been a practicing lawyer for 33 years. And when you practice law, whether it's in the criminal realm or family law, you deal with people of different personality types, and you try to understand what makes them tick. You try to understand that because you want to maybe explain their past conduct. And you also want to be able to persuade them and to help them through their problems by recognizing what kinds of issues they may have, whether it's something that is bad or good. It's really important to understand people. And even with your opposing counsel and your opposing parties, it's always good to try to understand what you're dealing with, who you're dealing with, because then it's easier to get to the goal of solving the problem or at least resolving the problem to your client's satisfaction. So this topic is one is very interesting to me. It's the issue of gaslighting. And there is a great book that I just finished reading called Gaslighting, Recognizing Manipulative and Emotionally Abusive People and Breaking Free. Stephanie Sarkis, PhD, is joining us tonight to discuss this really, really interesting topic. Dr. Sarkis, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Now, a lot of the listeners are not going to remember the original gaslighting reference. Can you remind our listeners where that term came from?
Sure. Gaslight was originally a play in the 30s, and mostly what we know it from is a 1944 movie where Ingrid Bergman is told by her husband that the gas lights aren't dimming when he's actually been turning down the gas. So the idea is that he's trying to make her think that she's crazy. And that's what gaslighters do, is they manipulate you to make you question your reality.
And are these people who are gaslighters, do they just walk amongst us and they're kind of hidden, or do we or can we actually understand and recognize the people by their conduct?
Well, there are two different types. One is the gaslighter that knows what they're doing and purposely does it. And the other kind is the person that grew up with maybe gaslighting parents, and they learn this behavior as kind of a survival mechanism. So the people that do this on purpose, it's very hard for them to get treatment because they don't think they have a problem.
Ah.
They think that they don't have that conscience that tells them this is, that they don't have guilt about stuff. They don't really, it's a sociopathic personality. The people that realize that they're doing this and that it's a pattern of behavior they learned from when they were younger, they tend to go get help because they realize that there's something that they need to change. And so there's a lot more hope for those people changing. So you do have some people that purposely do it, some people that don't.
Now, let's talk about the realm of boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband, wife, because there's different scenarios where gaslighters could come and do their thing. And let's just talk about a relationship gaslighter. What are the kinds of things that you would see from a gaslighter? Could you give us some examples?
Well, you see something called love bombing. So the first time you meet someone, they tell you how wonderful you are and that you're not like anybody else they've ever gone out with, which feels good, but it seems above and beyond what other people do on a first date. It's very extreme. And then they start devaluing you. So they put you up on this pedestal, and eventually you fall off the pedestal, and it's a long way down. So then you can't do anything right. And they constantly are picking at you. They may even do stuff like hide your things and then blame you for it and say that you're irresponsible and that you can't be trusted. They tell you that that people in your family have said bad things about you because that isolates you from your family. They constantly lie. They even lie about things that don't make sense to lie about. And they'll lie about really outrageous things to hide the other things that they're doing. They also have a history of chronic cheating as well, and will instead blame you for cheating when there's been no evidence that you've been cheating at all.
Sounds like a lovely person.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of people are susceptible to this. Everybody is susceptible to this because we're human. And so when you have someone that you meet and tells you how wonderful you are, that's really easy to get sucked into. So there's no one that's kind of immune from this kind of behavior.
Right, right. Because all the good things are happening up front and mm-hmm. sending your senses in the right direction. And I suppose that with this whole internet dating where you don't know somebody from a relationship, or you're not getting set up with somebody who knows somebody, and you're just looking at a profile, that this could be a serious problem. Is there any way, when you're looking at a profile of someone online for online dating, that you want to just maybe have your antenna up for the gaslighting personality?
Sure. If you have someone that's being purposely vague about who they are and what they do or where they live, or if you have someone that shows a lot of status on their profile. They're going above and beyond telling you how wealthy or how popular they are. That's a tip-off, too, because narcissists who tend to be gaslighters really want to be seen as having it all and being perfect. So you want to watch for that. You also want to watch for people that say things like, I've been hurt so much before, and I'm really looking for the person that helps me, you know, see the light. And because people are very susceptible to wanting to help someone, so you want to really avoid profiles that say things like that. You know, I need help, I'm looking for the right person, I've been treated badly in the past. That's what you want to avoid. And also, before you go out these people, you need to do a little Google search on them and see if they are who they say they are. Because online dating is perfect for gaslighters because they can be whoever they want to be. And they can look for people all over the country. So we have to be really careful about people that use online dating.
So looking at it from the other standpoint, when you're dealing with somebody, what is the gaslighter looking for? Are they looking for people who are passive or people who are forgiving? What are the traits that they're looking for so that the person who's on the website can maybe not show that side so as not to get sucked into the whole thing?
Well, interestingly, they also look for people that say, hey, I've been treated poorly in the past, I'm looking for the right person, I've been lonely for a while. They look for that because they feel that that person may be more willing to accommodate their poor behavior. They also look for people in helping professions. They look for doctors, nurses, teachers, therapists, because caring professions tend to be more allowing of certain behaviors because they know that this person may have had a hard time in the past. So that's what they look for. They look for people that are usually not going to say no to them. They look for in profiles if you have issues with boundaries. If it seems like you're giving too much information on your profile, they will also might seek you out. Because what they're trying to do is they're gathering psychological ammunition on you.
Right.
Also, when you go on a date with these people, they will constantly ask you about you, but they will never talk about themselves. When you ask them about their life or their past, you know, history, they will be very quiet. But they will constantly say to you, you know, how did it feel when your husband left you? How did it feel? You know, like they constantly pry and ask questions that are way too intrusive. And what they're doing is they're gathering information to get you with later.
So the gaslighters in part of your book talks about how they try to isolate you from your other relationships, which is which you see in a lot of different, you know, which I see in domestic violence cases. When I handle those, I've seen women, generally women, not always, but where the domestic abuser has basically put a wedge between the family and physically removed that person from where the parents are, where the family are, even where the friends are, so that that person is isolated and doesn't have, you know, doesn't have a support system. Is that something that you see with the gaslighters?
Right, well, gaslighting is part of emotional abuse, which is part of domestic violence. You definitely do see that isolation. You see the gaslighter pitting people against each other. He wants you to fight with your parents or fight with your sibling because he wants you to get closer to him. And again, you know, like you said, this isn't just men. It's also women equally that are gaslighters. I want to just point that out. So I'm just using he by default. But, yeah, you do see a lot of that. You know, no one else can treat you like I treat you. I treat you the best of anyone. You know, I don't like the people you're hanging around. I don't like your family, but gaslighters don't really give you a solid reason why. They come up with really nebulous, kind of vague answers as to why they don't like certain people, when the truth is the reason why they don't like those people is those people spend time with you and they want to isolate you as much as possible.
And those people might even be able to identify that you're doing things, that the gaslighter is doing some things that are not healthy.
Right, and usually that's who the gaslighter goes after. So if they know that one of your relatives is kind of hip to what you're doing, they will say, well, I don't really like that person, and they're bad, and I've heard this about them, and you need to stay away from them. And every time you're around them, you come back and you act like a jerk, so I don't want you to be around them. So they particularly go after and try to isolate you from people that know what they're doing.
We're talking to Dr. Stephanie Sarkis, who wrote a book called Gaslighting, Recognizing Manipulative and Emotionally Abusive People and Break Free. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about R. Kelly and just not, and obviously we can't diagnose him and we can't, you know, talk about him specifically, but some of the allegations that are being made against him in the documentary that was just on television, and how this turns into gaslighting. If you have any questions here, give us a call at 312-981-7200 or text to that same number. And Doctor, where can people buy your book?
At StephanieSarkis.com and Amazon, a major bookseller.
Okay, great. Let's take a break and we'll be back in a minute. Welcome Welcome back to the Karen Conti Show. This is a great topic. I just love this topic. Dr. Stephanie Sarkis is with us. She's the author of a book about gaslighting, and it's about recognizing manipulative and emotionally abusive people and how to break free. We were talking about people in relationships, Doctor, and how they, you know, they get led down this path. First, it's very positive, and then it just starts to chip away at self-esteem. What do you do if you are on the outside looking at, say, a loved one, a sister or a child or a friend who you see that might be happening to? What's the best thing to do to try to help that person out?
The best thing you can do is educate a person about what gaslighting is, but also keep in mind that they may have been brainwashed by the gaslighter. So if you bring up this person is not good for them, they may be going even closer to the gaslighter or strengthening that relationship. So keep in mind that the fact that you're telling them about the person being a gaslighter, they may deny it. They may tell you there's nothing wrong. And at that point, you just try to be as supportive as possible and let them know that when they're ready to get out, that you're going to be there and you support them 100%. And you know this is not a healthy relationship.
There's a concept in your book that I just love. It's called flying monkeys. Can you tell our listeners what a flying monkey is?
Well, a flying monkey is when you leave a gaslighter, they will tell people, send messages through people to you. So they will tell a friend of yours, a mutual friend, well, try and get them to get back with me. So that person says to you, you know, he was such a nice guy, and he really loved you, and I don't know why you would have left him, and you really need to go back to him. He's so sad without you. That's a flying monkey, and what you can do with those people is immediately cut them off and say, we are not talking about this person. That's just not, that's a no-fly area, you know, no-fly zone. So when you have people that are constantly trying to bring him up or her up, cut them off right away. Because, again, a lot of them are being sent by the gaslighter to kind of woo you back in. And keep in mind that those people don't always know that they're being manipulated by the gaslighter.
What are the long-term effects to be in a relationship with a gaslighter? I mean, how I assume we can go into domestic violence and we can go into all kinds of bad things. But what do you see in people who stay in these relationships and get affected by them?
I see a real problem with anxiety, with depression, building your life back up again, building up, you know, independent living skills because you've been told that whatever you do is wrong, so you rely on the gaslighter for everything. I've even seen this to the point where people neglect their health so much that they wind up passing away. So this is a really serious issue that this can eventually kill you, just like in most domestic violence cases.
We're getting some texters texting and lamplighters, a.k.a. psychopaths. I know my dad was one. Another texter said that she thinks she lives with one and that she doesn't think he can help it. And that's probably the person that you talked about where he's not doing this intentionally, but he's just that's his default mode and that's how he was raised and that's how he is.
And I should just add, though, that that person is still 100% responsible for their behavior, regardless of how it came about.
Got it. Right. And it doesn't mean you have to stay and help someone. Is there a help?
Right.
I mean, can a gaslighter, you said that if a person recognizes that their behavior is bad, can they actually go and get therapy? And then add to that, doctors, that are we talking about a diagnosis? Because gaslighting is sort of a term of art that we're using, but it's not narcissism. It's not borderline personality. It's not psychopath. It's not some of the terms that the psychologists and the psychiatrists use. It's sort of kind of a popular word for it, right?
Right. It's a descriptor of emotionally abusive behavior, particularly when someone's playing mind games with someone. You do see it more frequently in narcissistic personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder, also known as sociopathy, a histrionic personality disorder. So there are some things we do see, you know, gaslighting is more common in these disorders, but anyone can portray these habits and or behaviors and not have a diagnosis.
Let's talk a little bit about Surviving R. Kelly. Did you see the documentary, Doctor?
I did.
Okay. And at the end, no spoiler alert here, but R. Kelly's wife was being interviewed, and she used the word gaslighter. I forgot exactly the context, but obviously relating to him and the idea that he would bring these younger women into his fold and promise them things, and then that he would turn abusive, and it would turn sexual, and it would turn into control that was just a bizarre control conduct. From what you see, can you see that some of those allegations at least might have been gaslighting?
Those allegations appear to be gaslighting behaviors from what I've seen, especially the ramping up of behavior to the point where they're seeking permission to eat, to go to the bathroom, that type of behavior, especially when you have something like Stockholm Syndrome where people start identifying with their abuser. For instance, one girl left and then came back and then eventually went back to her mother again. But you see that these people have been through severe abuse, but yet they continue to stay with the person. Instead of trying to escape, they try to figure out how to cope within that situation. And that's very common for survivors of gaslighting, that they are isolated from everyone. In the show, they were talking about how they were these girls were not able to get calls from their family because they were screened. You also see things like that happening in gaslighting. So it sounds like a lot of that type of emotionally abusive behavior.
Yeah, it was just kind of shocking to hear her actually use that word. When mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, when you read the book, you see that it's exactly what he was doing from the allegations. Now, I just had a texter say, thank you for the definition of gaslighting. I've heard it used a lot regarding stories that have a political agenda. Could the area of planting the seeds of doubt to get people to hesitate to vote for a certain candidate be gaslighting? I'd like to just talk about gaslighting in terms of public figures, and you cover this in your book. Can you talk a little bit about what you see when you see a public figure who might be engaging in this conduct?
The public figure that gaslights, we see this usually in authoritarian regimes or people that want to be authoritarian, as telling people that what they're seeing or hearing is not real. It's making up stuff about the other candidate that is by no stretch of the imagination true. It's also exaggerating behavior. It's also being very ostentatious, showing off how rich you are or how wonderful you are to people that can't afford to, you know, get from day to day. That's another part of gaslighting, too. And the message is that, oh, well, if you follow me, then you can be like me. And you can be of my social status. It's also, again, lying to people about what they're doing. It's also lying about what people are seeing right in front of them. It's lying about, I'm going to read this to the public, and then you go on the fly and don't read what's prepared for you at all, and you just make up things as you go. It's pitting people against people. We've seen that for years with authoritarian regimes. Finding an other group and getting those people to go after the other group, because if people are busy attacking a group, then they don't notice the other stuff the gaslighter is doing in the background.
It just seems to me that the energy that it takes to do that kind of conduct would seem to me to be just overwhelming. But would these people be doing this in a way that is concerted, and meaning, like, are they thinking about it? Are they planning it? Or does this come naturally to them in most cases?
Well, it depends on the milieu. So if you're in a relationship, there can be, like I mentioned, there can be people that do this on purpose and people that just learn these behaviors and they don't realize they're gaslighting until someone points it out to them. Politicians, a lot of times this is planned, especially when they're running for office, they plan this. They will make personal attacks against people. And I'm not saying that all politicians do this, but again, we really need to look at, is what the person's saying backed up with data? We need to do fact checking. If someone says something, what do the facts say? What websites are we looking at for the information on these political figures? Are they valid websites? Because a lot of gaslighting happens, you know, behind the scenes. It's propaganda sent out by other countries or other people. If you repeat these kind of lies or these social media stories over and over again, people start believing them to be true. And that's part of what gaslighting politicians do also, is they repeat something until the media and the people around them believe it.
And I suppose that these kinds of people that engage in this conduct do not like the media. They don't like investigative journalists. They don't like people counting lies. They don't like people checking up on your facts, because that's not the kind of person you want. And so I imagine there's a lot of disparagement of the media, as you see in other countries where people came to power and they largely said, you know, don't listen to the media. They're lying to you.
Right. That's almost every totalitarian regime that you've seen. There was a leader that said, don't believe the media. I only like this one type of media. Don't listen to all these other people. A lot of dictators have shut down different types of media. And gaslighters have, and politicians have, this love-hate relationship with media. They hate the media for reporting stories that are true, but also they can't live without that attention to fill that narcissistic void. So it's a really kind of frightening relationship they have with media, and they put a lot of media at risk because of discussing media in terms that they're bad or that they're not worthy of being journalists. And so it really pits supporters against media, and that's very dangerous.
Now, the issue of cults, which is not the most prominent thing in the world, but would you say that the cult leaders are excellent at this gaslighting?
I think cults are actually more common than we think they are. And yes, cult leaders especially specialize in gaslighting. They try to pull you away from your family. They offer you something. They say, well, if you follow us, we'll find the key to happiness for you, whatever this goal is. And people will give up everything to seek this goal, but then they eventually realize that the gaslighting part was that there is no end goal. There's nothing really to be gained except being under the control of the gaslighter. You're told that whatever way you did things before, including contact with your family, is a sin. Or bad, or whatever word they want to give it. You're also given a bunch of lingo that applies just to the cult, so it makes you feel special because you're the only one that uses this type of language. So those are just some of the things that the leaders do of these cults.
I want to thank you so much for joining us. I really highly recommend this book. Dr. Stephanie Sarkis, the book is called Gaslighting, Recognizing Manipulative and Emotionally Abusive People and to Break Free. Dr. Sarkis, where can we get your book?
StephanieSarkis.com, Amazon, and any major bookseller.
And I think it's going to be posted on our website, so you can get the full title and the full name of Dr. Sarkis. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care.